little round of applause and we get started.
Okay, let's start. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Guoying Qi from Alibaba Cloud. And today I'm excited to share you our works on CSI-based tier storage plan. This plan is aimed to bridge the gap between the local block storage and cloud block storage. Let's begin. Today we will start with the challenge of modern storage. Then we will give a brief introduction to Kubernetes and CSI to set the context. After that, we will dive into the design of our tiered storage plan and followed by a demo. Then we will look at the benchmark results. Finally, we will compare our approach with our alternatives and wrap up with summary. Okay, let's start the background. Today, applications like databases and AI workload demand three things simultaneously: high performance, enterprise-grade reliability, and operational reliability. But current storage forces us to compromise. On the one hand, we have a local NVMe SSD. They provide incredibly fast and millions of IOPS, but they are ephemeral because the host got filled. The data will lose. On the other hand, we got cloud block storage. They offer the incredibly durability and the future like snapshot or clone or resizing, but they are limited by network throughput. So what if we could take the durability of the cloud block storage and inject a raw low latency of the local disks, all managed seamlessly within CSI and Kubernetes? That is precisely what our plan aims to achieve. We are talking about a smart system that uses CSI to abstract away the complexity, providing a high performance boost where it matters most without compromising data persistence. Okay, let's take a... before we dive into the architecture of this tiered storage solution, it's essential to reveal two concepts, which is Kubernetes and container storage interface. Kubernetes is basically a tool that helps you run your apps in your containers. It's starting and make sure they stay up. A lot of these apps also need somewhere to store their data. And honestly, most of team, they don't care how the storage work behind the scenes. They just want it to be reliability and available when they need it. So how does Kubernetes actually connect to all these different kind of storage? That's where the CSI comes in. CSI provides a standardized set of interfaces that allow any storage vendor to integrate in with Kubernetes. Once the driver is implemented, user can easily consume the storage through the PVC and PVs without ever need to know the details of the hardware. As the show in the diagram, a single pod can claim multi PVCs and for device needs. Additionally, a single storage backend can be mapped to multiple PVs to serve various claims across the cluster. Now let's look at how we actually build this tiered storage system. This architectural diagram shows the interaction between the Kubernetes console plan and the Kubernetes node plan. And let's walk through a typical provisioning scenario. First, when we create a PVC in a cluster, and the CSI driver will trigger storage vendor's API to create an EBS in storage cluster. Once successful, the driver registers a PV within the Kubernetes. It then automatically bound to the PVCs, and transitioning this can to be bound status, making it ready for pod usage. Then, when user creates a pod to consume this PVC, the Kubernetes scheduler assigns the pod to a specific node. And at this point, CSI will demonstrate, CSI Java will attach, also trigger the storage window's API, and CSI Java will attach the EBS volume to the specific node. As you can see in the diagram, the device become visible in node plan in OS level. Serves as the persistent foundation of our storage. You will notice we have two types of nodes. On node without local disk, the application pods use the EBS volume directly on the right, the node plan. But on the node with the local disk, we take extra steps to build our acceleration layer. So how we build this layer? We initialize the local disk into a read zero array, format is with charFS, and mount it to the specific path. This creates a high-speed cache that we will use later. Here is the why when we went with this specific configuration. First, read zero via MD at the main allow us to scale our bandwidth across all available local disks. Second, we choose charFS for its allocation groups, which will allow highly concurrent I/O across multiple CPU cores while avoiding metadata contentions. Then let's move back to the container level. Once the CSI node detects the pod has been scheduled, it begins constructing the tiered storage layer. Using the file path defined in the PV, the driver creates two files under that path. On the local charFS system, we just initialize. These files are map called meta and data. These files are mapped into the block device using loop setup, appearing as loop zero for metadata and loop one for data. These two loop devices, together with the EBS volume we just attached on this node, form the three components to initialize the DM cache targets. The final result is posted to the application pod is as DV dev device mapper zero, this block device. Yet we can for pod perspective, this is a standard block device. You can use it whatever you want. Yeah, they can support any approach. Now, let's look at the details of this mapping layer. To manage local storage efficiently, we use for locate command to pre-allocate space to a file. To make this file usable by Linux kernel, we use loop setup command. This map our files to DV loops device, allowing the kernel to treat them as raw block devices. At this point, we have all the essential elements required by DM cache. The remote EBS volume act as the origin, the reliable source of truth. Loop device one becomes the high-speed cache layer, while the loop zero stores the metadata of the tiered storage. That's what's the design of our tiered storage plan. Now let's look at the core capabilities this architecture provides. First, we have on-demand expansion. You can resize your EBS volume online with zero downtime. I will show you exactly how this works in the demo later. We also fully support multi-touch, which means you can attach one EBS volume to multiple calculates node. Because we don't store any tiered storage metadata on EBS volume itself, its function EBS volume itself it functions exactly like the standard EBS. This is the same reason we can seamlessly support backup and scaling and failover. From a usability perspective, this output is standard block device, so applications can use it without any change. We just talked about that. And finally, there is no additional background service or daemons to maintain this whole plan. So we can significantly reduce the operational overhead. To begin the demo, let's look at the how easy it is to use this tiered storage plan. First, we define a standard storage class in the cluster. This storage class includes the data cache path we have just initialized, and we also define the data cache size is 100 gigabytes. It's defined. It means we need to pre-allocate the size for caching. Next, we develop a stateful set. This is a stateful set that we claim our storage class name by volume claim templates, and we set a script. We define a script in the stateful set, which contains two FIO benchmark test. You can see when the pod is running, the results will show the significant performance boost. This is the first rate. You will see this is around 150 millibytes around, but in the second, it will be 1,060 millibytes. Next, we will show the online expansion. The application pod is running, and we enter the pod, and the df command shows that the size of this our block is 120 gigabytes, and mounts on the data path. And we do the standard Kubernetes operation to patch the PVC storage request to 200 gigabytes. And we will see the device in the pod has become 200 gigabytes. Yeah, that's our online expansion. The application don't need to have have zero downtime. Yeah. And by design, look at the bottom picture. We don't expand the cache file during this process. As you can see, the cache file remains as 100 gigabytes, in which we define in storage class. Finally, let's look at the data continuity. At the top of the screen, you can see we have a pod running at node number 244. Yeah. And we can see we got a test file under the path mount point data, which is match to the device of our device mapper device, yeah. And we perform a node failure we simulate a node failure by delete the pod, and Kubernetes will immediately schedule this pod to another node, and the pod becomes running. This node is number 245. and we enter into the new pod. You can see we also have the exactly the same the file, but the mount point of the data has become the virtual block device, not the device mapper. So as you can see, the 32 gigabytes file is perfectly intact. The application remains entirely unaware that the underlying cache was swiped out, and simply sees its data and continuous running. This proves that we have successfully integrated local disk performance with the cloud-grade persistence. After demo, let's look at the numbers. First, our test environment consists of 120 gigabytes cloud disk and 100 gigabytes local SSD. The benchmark command we use is FIO, at least here. And the baseline is on the left. We use this FIO command to test the EBS volume directly. And we got 1,620 IOPS. This is our starting point. In the middle, you can see the performance during the very first read. This is the code read called, and the right, you will see the heart rate. You will see the performance during is the very, the hot, sorry. Once the data is sitting in the local disks, local NVMe cache, the performance skyrocketed to 224,000 IOPS. This is the random rate. And then the sequential rate. In sequential rate, there is no significant improvement. This is because DM cache was originally designed for HDD to SSD tiering. This is protect SSD long span. The default policy routes sequential rates directly to the origin layers, bypass the cache to reduce sweat. And we have did some research. There is used to be a parameters called sequential threshold in DM cache docs, but it's no longer available. So for now, we got no way to fix this in sequential RAID. So that is this. Next, we see the RAID path. By using the RAID back mode, we acknowledge the RAID the moment it's committed to the local NVMe. The sync to the cloud happens asynchronously. As you can see, this takes our throughput from 132 megabytes to 3,500 megabytes. This impact on performance is incredible. Now we have seen the performance results. Let's move into the comparative analysis. First one is LVM. LVM is more knowable compared with the DM cache. The main problem of LVM is that the metadata layout, because the LVM are embedded into the EBS volume, is no longer function as the standard block device. That is the main reason we now use this LVM. Second, there is a significant migration overhead. Kubernetes is built for high-speed port movements, but LVM make volumes heavy. This is because you have to manually clean the LVM metadata before the EBS volume can be safely attached to the new node. Third, multi-attach support is extremely limited. Standard LVM is designed for single node exclusive access, which means you cannot safely attach the LVM managed volume to multiple nodes simultaneously. Finally, is the issue of compatibility. If you already have an existing EBS volume filled with data, and you can't just turn on the LVM without a lot of complex reformatting. Yeah. So that's another alternative. Why not just build a large storage cluster like Ceph by using this local disk? Well, Ceph is powerful, and it has four major drawbacks that our tier storage plan avoids. First is the reliability, or we call it block radius. In large cluster, a single network glitch or metadata error can cause a domino effect that crash the entire system. Our solution keeps things isolated. If one part has an issue, it doesn't take down your whole storage wall. Second, managing a self-built cluster is massive operational headache. You need to specialize engineering who understand the complex components like OSDs. Third, we bypass the network bottleneck. Informal storage cluster, internal storage cluster are always limited by network speed, usually 10 or 25 gigabytes. By using the local bus on the server, our tier plan gets data to your apps much faster than any network-based storage could. Finally is the cloud integration. Self-built storage often acts like a storage island. It's isolated and hard to connect to with the cloud future, like instance EBS snapshots or regional backup. Our plan is cloud native, means it works perfectly with the existing cloud ecosystem. In conclusion, we have demonstrated how this CSI-based tiered storage plan resolves the primary tension in modern storage. This trade-off between the ultra-high and performance of the ephemeral local SSDs and the rock-solid durability of the cloud block storage. By implementing this architecture, we are no longer forcing developers to compromise. We are providing a storage solution that is as fast as local hardware and as reliable as the cloud backbone. A critical philosophy behind this is this plan is cloud first. We want our customer to delegate that complexity to the cloud vendors, offloading the heavy thing to infrastructure so they can focus entirely on their own business logics. So if you are interested in this plan, feel free to reach out via GitHub issues and emails. I'm looking forward to connect with you. Yeah, that's all. Yeah, please.
Hi, thank you. Quick question, right? Mm-hmm. Have you given any thought about still using, sorry, I speak AWS language, but can we hopefully be, still using like the equivalent of EBS, but like using S3? Because right now, yes, they improve performance, but there's going to be a significant increasing cost as well. So instead of using a block storage behind like an object store, obviously the primitives are going to be different.
Just block storage. And you can see is sorry, I can't perfectly get you what you ask. Maybe you can ask. We can talk about this later. Yeah. Please. What is
the
F-sync? F-sync?
Do you write to the cache?
Yeah. Yeah, there are two modes of the, they are provided by DM cache. You got two modes. First is the write back, the second is the write through. When you set it with write back, the data will acknowledge when the, you will acknowledge when data is goes into the cached storage layer. If you set it with write through, the data will go to the EBS volume. Yeah. It's by your choice. You can customize it. Yeah.
No more
questions? Yeah.
Have you used this for hosting databases, for example?
Yeah. Yeah, we use this in our internal scenario, but not for publics. This is the first time for publics. Yeah.
So it works fine also for data.
Yeah, data. Yeah.
Because usually when I try to use something like this for reviews, for example, the developers tell you, oh, we require POSIX support. If you use something that does not guarantee POSIX support, we will not.
Not support.
Yeah, for we haven't received such a question so far, so I can't give you a conclusion. Sorry. Yeah, please.
Have you already tried using it with a kubelet or other tools to manage virtual machines?
Sorry, I can't get your question. Sorry. Sorry.
Do you run virtual machines in storage?
Yeah, this is run on virtual machines.
No, I mean to host virtual machines, virtual machine images.
Yeah, this is exactly. You mean the mute? You mean the something like the image, like that, immutable manifest?
Later.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.